And we lead in Hillsboro, where there was a deadly fire last night that left one person dead and four injured. And the fire was first reported just before 1 a.m. as the Orange Rural Fire Department responded to reports of a structure fire at 818 Fawcett Mill Road. They arrived to find the two-story duplex, quote, heavily involved in a fire. The cause of the fire remains under investigation by the Orange County Fire Marshal. You can find more details in the news article on chapelboro.com. We move over to campus now, where today is the first day of classes for the spring semester. So happy FDOC to returning students and faculty over at the university. And we also got some good news for one of UNC's star professors. Tressie McMillan Cotton has been named as the 26th ranked education scholar in the nation by Education Week magazine. They rank educators in terms of public influence, defined as moving ideas from academia to the public discourse and into actual government policy. Easy to see why Cotton was ranked so high. She's an associate professor at UNC's School of Information and Library Sciences and has a robust online following as well as multiple publications that she regularly publishes in. With the start of the new year comes a new assessment from Orange County Living Wage on what actually constitutes a living wage for our community. The organization calculates that $16.60 an hour is what it takes to reach a living wage in Orange County. That is up 75 cents from the number they gave in 2022. As we continue into the first few days of the new year, we've been talking with local leaders about what their resolutions are for their respective communities. In Hillsboro, the town has several major projects it's undergoing to explore how to improve transportation access and alternative transportation. Here's what Hillsboro Mayor Jen Weaver said about the top projects in her mind for 2023.
Our limited wastewater capacity and how we are working to do the upgrades and repairs that we need to so that we continue to take good care of that asset. We also have invested in a couple of feasibility studies that have to do with some important long-term planning to make Hillsboro more bike and pedestrian friendly along South Churton Street, plus the multi-use path feasibility study that's north-south, you know, that would be separated from any main roads. And then ongoing with the train station, this is just going to be a really big project, thinking about not just the station, but the surrounding acreage and what we want that to look like. So one foot in front of the other on all of those items.
That's Hillsboro Mayor Jen Weaver speaking there. If you want to hear the full conversation with the mayor's segment, head to the audio archives on chapelboro.com. Just click on the 97.9 The Hill and the top menu bar. We've also got a full slate of local government meetings this week, really for the first time this calendar year. And looking first up into Orange County, the Hillsboro Board of Commissioners is meeting at 7 o'clock tonight in Town Hall Annex. They'll be discussing topics for a work session later this month and set their legislative policy goals for the General Assembly in 2023. The Orange County School Board will simultaneously be meeting at 7. They'll be in the Witted Building up in Hillsboro. And we also have the Pittsboro Board of Commissioners meeting at 7 p.m. in the Chatham County Agricultural and Conference Center. We also got word of a meeting from the Board of Commissioners in which they plan on hiring a new interim town manager, as the tenure of current interim town manager Hazen Blodgett is up at the end of the month. Of course, the town's also in the midst of an ongoing search for a long-term solution at town manager. To national government now, while much of the focus in Washington, D.C. on Friday was on selecting a new Speaker of the House, the day also marked the solemn anniversary of the January 6th insurrection. Lawmakers held a moment of silence outside the Capitol to remember those events and to thank the first responders who were on scene to respond to the mob of Trump supporters. Similar recognitions were held across North Carolina, including one organized by the local League of Women Voters in Chapel Hill on Friday night. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
As the sun set and a chill began to set in for the night, a few dozen people gathered at the corner of Franklin Street and Columbia Street in downtown Chapel Hill. Some people held plastic candles, others wore glow sticks, and a handful held signs remembering those who protected the transfer of power on January 6, 2021, as Congress certified the results of the 2020 presidential election. Among those preparing for the brief march with the group down Franklin Street were Amy Giroliman and Jerry Richards. The two community members were there as part of the National Organization of Women and shared how often they'd thought of the insurrection 2 years ago. Giroliman said,
I think about it more than I would like to because it's such a disturbing event, and when I see any of the video from it, it just horrifies me, that the amount of violence that people committed that day. But my feelings about it have changed. I think I understand it a lot more because I've listened and watched the January 6th committee, the House committee.
Those hearings, which resulted in a lengthy final report detailing minute by minute how the event unfolded, were a major difference between the same vigil organized by the local League of Women Voters last January. The committee's hearings and public releases of information helped provide more insight into a historic attempt to change the results of an election and alter the democratic process. Richards said between the hearings and her personal research, she empathizes more now with those who participated in the insurrection, describing them as feeling lost. But she added that it does not, quote, excuse the way they showed their anger, and makes it so she thinks about what happened on January 6th nearly every day.
Of all the things that have happened in my life that are historical, next to 9/11, this is, I think, the most shocking and frightening and motivating thing that I've seen.
The two women, as well as others who gathered Friday night, said they felt compelled to demonstrate because of their support for democracy and voting rights. After its brief march, the group gathered in University United Methodist Church for a discussion of those very topics. Dr. Jennifer Bremer, the redistricting lead for the local league chapter, helped moderate that talk. The Chapel Hill resident also worked as a professor studying international development and examining how countries create their leadership structures. Bremer told 97.9 The Hill she believes January 6th could represent a marker in the history of the United States for reckoning with extremism.
There are any number of things that you can point to in American history where there was political violence, not an invasion of the Capitol, but nonetheless political violence. So it is something that we have to take as a sign that we have to work harder to fix these problems and to bring people together.
The discussion included several local elected officials, State Representatives Alan Buoyancy and Renee Price, who spoke in person, and Congresswoman Valerie Fouché and State Senator Greg Meyer, who shared video messages with the group. Buoyancy and Price each shared their recollection of the afternoon of the Capitol insurrection and their beliefs on protecting democracy, improving voting rights, and engaging with those who feel underserved by their government. Afterward, Buoyancy shared his impression of seeing people in his hometown taking time to remember and address an event that took place 2 years ago and hundreds of miles away.
Well, it just shows that people care. You know, as we were saying during the event, as soon as people stop caring, as soon as people stop talking, that's when things, we're really in trouble. It's heartening to see, you know, this crowd in here. We had some young people in here. We, you know, had a lot of folks who were more seasoned in here. I mean, that's critical to sustaining democracy, is to have people caring, speaking out, and being vigilant.
The sentiment echoed what Giroliman said earlier in the evening along Franklin Street, that one of her biggest lessons in recent years is the importance of paying close attention to those in charge.
There's so much of our government and our democracy that's gentlemen or womanly agreements. It's not law. Things I thought were commonplace, like the president releasing their taxes. Apparently, there's no law about that. But even when there are laws where the IRS should be auditing the president and the vice president, it's not happening. So if you're not paying attention, then I think our democracy could slip away.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Look at sports now. Got a lot of sports news coming across the wire this afternoon. The big win. UNC volleyball coach Joe Segula is retiring. He spent 33 years as the coach at UNC. That includes 15 NCAA tournament appearances, 7 ACC titles, and he retires as the winningest volleyball coach in ACC history. Congratulations on a robust career, Joe Segula, UNC volleyball coach, retiring after 33 years. Over to basketball now, where Carolina's men's team has now won two straight after losing at Pittsburgh in December. They've now won six out of seven since that four-game losing streak, which took them from number one all the way out of the rankings. And here's what head coach Hubert Davis had to say after Saturday's game about how his team has responded to adversity.
One of the things that I love about our guys is that we always get back up. And it's something that I talk to them about a lot, that in basketball this year with this team and in life, you're going to get knocked down. And you're going to have rainy days and speed bumps and potholes, and you can whine and complain and make excuses and point fingers and stay down, or you can get back up and continue to compete, continue to fight, and continue to get better. And this team always has responded in that way. And so I would take it even further, you know, not just a response from the Pitt game. I would take it even further from the four games that we lost, and now we've won six out of seven. And so does that mean to stop? No. But that's a sign of a tough team, a resilient team, and that's the type of team that I love being associated and being around.
UNC head coach Hubert Davis speaking there after Carolina's 81-64 win over Notre Dame on Saturday. They'll be back at it on Thursday on the road at Virginia. Women's team got a huge win against fourth-ranked Notre Dame over the weekend. It was close for most of the game. And then Paulina Paris dropped 11 points in the fourth quarter as UNC pulled away for the 60-50 victory. It's their second win over a top-five opponent already this year. Paris led all heels with 16. Deja Kelly chipped in 14. Much-needed win snapped a four-game losing streak. Here's head coach Courtney Banghart after the game.
This is not just a win. It's a top-five win. It's the second of the year. And, you know, they earned it. They earned it by playing really well on both ends. We didn't shoot the ball so well, but we found ways to win because it was just them saying, we're going to find a way, and our crowd being what we needed them to be tonight.
That is head coach Courtney Banghart of the UNC women's team and some child yelling for their mom in the background that I'm sure perked up some ears out there. Not your kid, somebody at the basketball game yesterday. In golf, sophomore David Ford won the Jones Cup Invitational in Georgia over the weekend. That's a non-collegiate event, but it is one of the top amateur tournaments in the world, and David Ford's the victor. UNC's Peter Fountain finished fourth as that loaded UNC men's golf team continues dominance even when there aren't college tournaments to play in. In other sports, the UNC wrestling team lost to Penn on Saturday. It was their first dual meet of the year. UNC Gymnastics took third out of four teams at the Super 16 meet in Las Vegas. They'll be home tonight facing North Carolina State here in about a half an hour. And finally, congratulations to former UNC quarterback Sam Howell. He notched his first career NFL win for the Washington Commanders on Sunday. He threw for 169 yards and a touchdown. Congratulations.